Iowa Soybean Association is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. We're proud to provide objective agronomic research, a helping hand with soil and water stewardship, and timely industry news powered by the Soybean Checkoff. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Yeager. This is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. Glad to have you here. We're going again in the technology realm. We're going to go back with Alan Gray with Dial Ventures. Remember, they are at Purdue University. And I'm not going to say it's a think tank, but it's a way to take an idea and turn it into reality. The way a lot of schools, universities have gone to is like the incubator of business. But we're going to talk about three companies, one in particular that's coming through agriculture right now that's impacting the way we grow, raise, sell, produce food and fuel. And all the things we talk about on Market to Market. So that's what we're going to discuss. I mean, I have AI, automation. We're going to talk about how one might be a tool, and it's not the only thing driving the world, but it is a buzzword. So we will discuss AI here in just a moment. I guess I just let the cat out of the bag. We'll also talk about telling the farmer story. If you have an email or a tip for me, email me at paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get to Alan Gray. Alan, you're a hard guy to pin down. You've been busy. Why?
A lot going on. We're keeping Dial running as fast as we can, you know, trying to create impact on the industry and seeing if we can't get some companies created. And, you know, for us, it's like a flywheel. It just runs all the time. So we're staying busy.
Give me an overview how Dial, I guess, is now versus when we last talked a year ago. Has anything changed?
Well, the main thing that's changed, Paul, I think, is that we've gotten more and more connections to the industry, which means we're getting more and more feedback from the industry. Of course, we continue to bring in our new fellows, all the new talents that we bring in our Innovation Fellows program. So since last year, we've had two more fellows cohorts come through the program, more and more companies providing us with feedback, more and more people interested in what we're doing, and we're creating companies. So we've created two new companies since the last time that we talked. We're excited about Oaken and Grip and continuing to move towards creating our next new companies.
Well, new companies are important to have. Ideas to reality, though, has it gone like vision, like you envisioned?
In some ways it has, some ways maybe it hadn't, Paul. I would say, you know, the way I envisioned this from the start was that we wanted to interact with the industry in ways that were important to them. So let's make sure that every time we do anything related to creating new startup companies, that it's because the industry says this is what we need and that we're developing those needed pieces. We've been doing that, and I think we've been really effective at following the lead of the industry to say, let's create the things you want to do. Now, what's been unexpected, I don't ever know exactly where the industry is going to send us. So you know, you might ask me, Paul, well, what's your next company going to be? I don't know. We got to wait and see where the industry leads us each time. So for us, it's kind of new and different. Every 6 months we do this.
And I guess I also want to have you define industry, because to me, your industry could be extremely wide. What do you define as your industry?
Yeah, we think about the vertical first. So agriculture and food, and we really do think about that nexus between ag and food. And then we think about it mostly focused on supply chain. So when you think about food, the thing we don't spend a lot of time on is the consumer. Not the consumer is not important. Of course, Paul, they are. They're the reason why we need change in our ag and food supply chain is to meet the needs of and demands of consumers of the future, right? But where we really focus is sort of think of us as consumer packaged goods companies back, right, through the chain and all the way back to basic fertilizer mining and all the pieces in between there. And how do we get those connections between them? How do we think about digital solutions that help either folks within one piece of that industry or across that industry work together?
Because I think of people who I think you're dealing with and those who have ideas like that, they need a certain kind of shepherding, and it's an idea. Logistics, talking about getting to the consumer, that's where I think logistics is. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, certainly logistics and supply chain is a big part of that. Information sharing is a big part of that. Transparency is a big part of that. Traceability is a big part of that. So there's a number of pieces of that puzzle, if you will, that go into this piece. And we also have learned, Paul, over the last year that there are certain things we want to do to connect across the industry better, logistics and but we're not ready even inside the company. So often we're actually doing some of what we call just the basic blocking and tackling of solutions just to be able to get us to those connections we're looking for.
Oh, it's football season. We have to use those terms.
That's right.
I love it.
Of course.
But does your location in Indiana, has that mattered to you and who you've been working with?
It does matter to us. We've been drawing talent with respect to our innovation fellows from all over the country. And we do that where most of the time they're working at a distance. So their location hasn't mattered to us. And that's been helpful to be able to draw talent into what we're doing. But where it has mattered the most for us is we're in the heartland. We're in the place where food and agriculture matters the most. And of course, it matters in California, and we work there as well when the opportunities are right. And it works in agriculture works in Arizona, and it works in Texas, it works in Florida, it works in places all around the Midwest. But you know, we're in the heart of where the heartland of agriculture is, and I think that's mattered a lot to us. It's mattered a lot to the engaging the industry in this innovation process. So I think our location matters. But luckily, we found a way to put together a system where it doesn't necessarily matter for talent. We can get that talent from wherever we need it.
What does location matter to you, to Dial?
So location matters to us with respect to making sure we're focused on issues that are matter to agriculture. And that's great about us being in the Midwest. That's where the heart of agriculture is. One of the things that we've noticed, though, is that we're really sourcing talent from all over. And that's a really important piece, too. You want to bring talent to the things that we worry about in food and agriculture, and drawing them in from all around the country is something that we've been really had a great opportunity to do. So focus on the impact that we want to have. You know, Purdue University is a land-grant university in the Midwest. We want to have impacts here in the U.S., in the Midwest of the U.S., but also the other thing that I think is important for us to keep in mind, Paul, is that Purdue University, while it's located here in the Midwest, it's a global impact university. We put people on the moon. So we want to have impact all around the world. And we're trying to do that from the central location of where the heart of food and agriculture is. So a location matters to us, but impact is meant to be brought.
People eat everywhere. It's not just an American thing, even though it looks like it might be sometimes with me. Alan, I have AI written down as one of the first things to talk about. Where is AI with you? What does it mean to you and to those coming to you with ideas?
Well, AI, boy, we just don't have enough time, Paul. So let me see if I can keep this as short for you as possible. AI is what let me do it this way. AI is an enabling tool that may or may not be the right tool to use to get the job done. What matters to us first and foremost is what's the job we're trying to get done in the food and ag space that we need to have a digital solution for. And then we look in our toolkit and say, what is the tool that might matter? It might be AI. That's certainly a place where we think we have opportunities to work on making things more efficient and effective for those trying to get jobs done in food and agriculture, right? So AI might turn out to be, for example, very useful to agronomists working in ag retail who need ways to become more efficient and effective at utilizing the data and information that they have available to them from a variety of different sources to help them get those things compiled to be ahead of the producer, ahead of the maladies that may be taking place in the cropping system, for example. Mm-hmm. And AI might be a tool that helps us with those sorts of things. I see that as a big possibility for us as we move forward.
So is AI a tool or is it the driver here?
No, it's a tool.
Yeah.
I see it only as a tool. AI is only going to be as effective as the person using the tool, right? It's a pick or a shovel. That's the way we think about things. How can we bring the picks and shovels to address the jobs that need to be done in food and agriculture? AI is just one of those picks or shovels. It's the buzzword. It's the thing everybody worries about these days. And of course, you know, our startup companies are in the venture capital market, and venture capital is all excited about AI. So anytime, well, we might have a solution that could bring that tool, that's going to be of benefit, of course, to our companies in that funding market. But if it's not the right tool for the job, we're going to use the tool that is.
Well, I'm going to guess then that when things become buzzwords, you have to do a little bit of sales back on an issue and say, yeah, that's a good idea. But that's not the root of things. Are you having to have that discussion a lot?
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, we have to have a lot of conversation, particularly in the funding market, about the nature of food and agriculture, the nature of this business, the fact that we are such a physical-oriented business that then the types of tools we might need or want to use in digital may or may not be the same things that are the digital tools that are as highly effective in a more digital space like finance, for example, right? And so we have to do some education around that, some explaining around what we're doing in our markets. At the same time, Paul, we're responsible also for saying, well, let's be open-minded. But the argument that, well, food and agriculture is different is just a poor argument. We need to say, now, wait a minute, maybe where there are some nuances or some things that are different about our industry, we should look at the tools that are being used in these other industries and say, how could we use those tools in our industry?
Go back to that, we're different. What, they don't matter? Is that what you're being told? I'm not following you there.
There are tools. What I'm talking about there is, we have a tendency in agriculture to say, well, we can't really use the tools of modern technologies as well in agriculture because we're different. And, you know, are we different? Sure, there are certain elements about food and agriculture that make us a bit unique. Seasonality is really, really such a big deal in our industry. It is in some other industries, but not necessarily like it is for us. And then the other thing is all other industries face uncontrollable factors, but maybe not so many uncontrollable factors like we do in food and agriculture. And then fourth thing is we're just physical. Everything we do is physical, and digitizing what we do physically isn't likely to happen as it might in some other industry. So those are nuances that make us different, but it doesn't necessarily mean that tools that are used in the finance world would maybe be applicable here. We just need to think creatively and be open-minded to how might we use those tools.
It's like those in ag selling agriculture to anyone else saying, no, we're not. Yes, we have rural, and we're in rural areas. Doesn't mean we're backwater and behind.
That's right.
We are still using all. That's what I was wondering if that's what you were meaning. And that sounds like a little bit of you're trying to have to overcome and tell ag story to say, no, we are in that same discussion as everybody else.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. It's like, hey, we're doing some serious stuff. Just look inside. I mean, I have things written down here of all these things that automation has done and made better. And that's no different than every other product that's out on the market right now. Do you find that that's encouraging then for your work?
I think it's very encouraging to me that, if it's the right spaces, agriculture leads in technology adoption. As long as that technology is about getting a job done better, faster, cheaper, more conveniently, more environmentally friendly. If the tool helps do that, we're really good at adopting technology. The other thing this industry is really good at is not adopting technology for technology's sake, right? We're really good at that. And so that's where we have to find that balancing act. Maybe the markets, the venture capital markets or the consumer markets want to see us adopt a technology in food and agriculture because it's the latest buzz of a tool. But if it's not helping us get a job done that helps feed, clothe, fuel the world, then that tool is not one we need in this industry. And that's the interesting place where we get to kind of help shape that at Dial.
So you can help, I guess, shake out the chaff if we want to use a harvest. Like, that's not important. This is where the focus needs to be. That's what you're saying Dial is helping do.
Yeah. And it's our industry contacts that do that for us, right? Not just Dial. We bring together the industry, and the industry is the one saying, this is what's important. Let's solve this problem. That's not important right now. So let's focus on this.
All right, let's talk about industry for just a moment. When someone has an idea, you know, in corporate America, you always hear about that. Well, my boss never wants to hear my idea because it's not his or her idea. How are these companies coming now where they're like, no, no, we welcome all ideas because we don't know yet what's going to totally work?
Yeah, we find this to be this one of the exciting things about Dial and working with the industry is how I think the pace of change in the world, not just in our industry, Paul, but all around the world, I think the pace of change is such that within our industry, people are looking up and they're saying, hey, things are moving so fast around us. We got to be open-minded to all the possibilities that are out there. Thank goodness we're working with somebody like Dial, who's constantly looking at these things and helping us think more about where is the future of this industry headed? Where are the technologies that we need to be thinking about adopting, and how is it going to make it easier for us to do the job of feeding, clothing, and fueling the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love reading about the innovations, and when I see these releases come through, and I just think there's opportunity. It's that old sales pitch, right? Oh no, well, how can you say no to opportunity? It's what's been the best, I guess, success story that looked like it was a hurdle that an opportunity arose in your eyes?
Well, let me give you an example. Hoken. So Hoken's one of our latest companies that we just started. I felt certain that, and I still feel this way strongly, that agriculture, production agriculture, has a real opportunity in data. And we talk about that until we're blue in the face these days, it seems like, except that what I've noticed is that we have lots and lots of data on the farm, but we can't seem to get it aggregated in a way that becomes useful enough for us to be able to do something with it. Oaken's job, that's what they're really focused on. How can I work with the producer to help them gather all the data and information that they need? And in this case, Oaken's really focused on, let's gather that data and information for you so that you can share it with your landowners. Because as you know, particularly in the Midwest and row crop agriculture, 65% of the land is rented. And so for a farm operator to really be successful, they have to manage those relationships with landowners to continue to have access to that land asset. Oaken's focused on this activity. And I tell you this because people told me at first when we were working on this idea, well, it'll never work, Alan. There's too many farms, they're too fragmented, and they don't want to adopt technology. And I kept telling them, I don't think this is true. I think that farmers fully understand when the data is useful to them in terms of being able to move their business forward, they're going to want to work with us to do that. And the landowner is a critical place where that matters to them, right? So far, a lot of it's been about, well, gather all the data so you can share it with a company downstream or upstream who will benefit from the data. We're focused on that. Wait a minute, let's put the data together in a way that allows you to benefit. And it took us a cycle, Paul. We didn't get to Oaken the first time through our process. It took us a couple of times through it before we really got to the right positioning and the market began to understand what it is that we were trying to do. And since then, it's been taking off like a rocket ship. It's really doing great.
But Alan, you talk about the upstream and the downstream. That's where the big argument has been with these companies. It's about he who controls the data controls everything. So how were you able to bridge that gap? That sounds like you should be trumpeting that with even louder megaphones.
Well, again, I think the key to that was to focus on the farmer in this case. So much of the data we need in the food supply chain is created at the farm level. So the focus has been on the farmer, but our focus has been on how do you benefit the most from this data so that you want to put it together. So you want to get it into what we call a data asset. How do we create a data? Because farmers have data, but it's just a scattered mess of data usually across the farm. How do you get that put together? The focus was on who is the one creating that data? What's the value for them? And you know, our view is the thing that resonates the most with the farmer is, okay, I need to communicate with my landowners. Is this going to help me do that in a more effective way? That was the key.
Well, and I think of relationships with, say, the people behind me in this farm picture. I know that there is one of these tracts of land going up for sale almost by the time this podcast runs, is up for sale. So there's going to be a new landowner or someone that's getting presented that information. Our dashboards, I think of my retirement or my finance, I see dashboards. Is that what Oaken and is trying to put together so that landowner can be presented information by the farmer?
Yes, dashboards for the farmer to help, dashboards for the farmer to help them manage those landowner relationships. You know, some farms may have 50 to 150 landowners. They're trying to manage all these different relationships, and that's a lot of work to have to manage. And right now, they mostly end up having to communicate with them blanketly. Here's what I'm doing on my farm. Instead of about your individual farm, what we're doing for them is allowing them the opportunity to use the dashboards of who you're communicating with, when was the last time you communicated with them, what did you communicate with them, what is it that that landowner cares about? Do they care about how well you mow the ditches and what the yields are, or do they care about ESG metrics and soil health? Okay, that farmer cares about, this landowner cares about this, let's communicate with them with that data. This landowner cares about this, let's communicate with them around these pieces, right? But that's exactly what we're trying to do, is so that they can really tailor the message to their landowner in terms of the value they're creating for that individual landowner. And then on the landowner side, hey, my opportunity now is to really understand what's happening on my land the way I want it, the way I want to understand what's happening. Not just the check that's being transferred back and forth between the two, right?
Well, and I think of one of our market analysts, the very first conversation I had with him a couple of years ago before he came on the show was, I want to make sure I can relate to my producer what their cost of production is for each bushel. Because, and I think how this translates to what you're saying, Alan, is that when the producer farmer can tell the landowner, when the landowner says, I want to raise rent, and you'll be like, okay, well, here's where my expenses have been. Here's where my opportunity to gain some of that back. So again, it is an extension, listening to you, I think, of that understanding the information and data and presenting in a way that's beneficial to many people.
Right, absolutely, Paul. Okay. And whether it's about economics, because some landowners care about that, others don't, or it's around how well you take care of my piece of property, what have you done to improve my soil health?
Yep.
These are things that might allow that farmer in that case to take the conversation beyond what's the rent value going to be.
Let's get into the ecology of land. Where are any companies that you're working with soil health or understanding wastewater discharge or fertilizer overuse? You have any companies in the hopper with that?
What we're doing, we don't have any companies right now. We're working on some concepts. In fact, I'm leaving right after this, Paul, headed down to Indianapolis for our next industry workshop. 65 people in our industry workshop the next 2 days, working on the next 10 possible problems that we've identified and helping us figure out which ones of those are most important. Where we're spending our time right now in that space is around measurement, verification, and reporting, because that's where the challenge is going to be with respect to whether we're talking about carbon credits or we're talking about water quality or we're talking about fertility runoff or we're talking about soil health generally, regenerative agriculture. These are all sort of features and benefits that come along with the products of corn or soybeans or whatever else you're producing. Mm-hmm. That they ultimately, those things have to be verified and reported on. And so you got to measure them, you got to report on them, and you got to verify. MRV, that's the way we think about that. And so we're working on ideas where maybe there's companies that can really create opportunities in that measurement, verification, and reportability, where mostly right now, verification is third-party verifications. I'm not sure we'll get rid of that, but it's really expensive. Are there technologies, are there ways in which we can do this that can lower the cost of verification? Because I don't think we're going to get away from that. It's going to be a part of these sort of new metrics in sustainability, ESG, regenerative agriculture. That's going to be a part of this process. So that's kind of the space we've been working on here lately.
Well, I think it goes back to what you were just talking about a little bit, because those terms and subjects are important to legislatures in rural America, in all of America, of understanding of, well, what do we need to do to help a producer or limit the producer or something like that? And it goes back to that data and being able to understand what it is that you're talking about and presenting. So I know that's not a target of, well, I'm making talking points for legislators, but that's, and media for that standpoint, doing interviews like this, Alan, are, that's right, I think, important. Right. So I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, Paul, I agree with you. It's another concept we're actually working on right now, is thinking about, is there a business opportunity and a problem to be solved to tell the farmer story better to the right audiences? And we're looking into that. How do we do that better? It was amazing this time as we went around and talked to industry early on in this cycle, how often the story was, we're trying to figure out how to tell our story better. Tell our farmer story better. Let people know more about what it is that we're doing here. And that's one of the spaces that we're actually going to be talking about over the next few days. And of course, data is a big part of that. But Paul, it's also storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. And it needs to be factual storytelling, which is why the measurement, verification, reporting becomes an important part of that. If I'm going to tell a story, we got to make sure we can back that story up with the facts as well. So telling these stories is critically important for us.
Going back to the very first thing we talked about, I couldn't figure out which joke I wanted to comment with that. But you could put that into AI, into the chat GPT, and say, tell agriculture story in this such way, and see what, that's a tool. That's a whole other thing. Well, but that's what the writer strike is about too, Alan, the chat GPT doing the work of humans. All right, Alan, as we close up, what's the next year going to look like? You talk about the industry workshop you've got going on here in the next couple of days. You're always having meetings. In a year from now, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, first of all, I hope and I believe we're going to be talking about the fact that our first three companies, Croft, Oaken, and Grip, are on to bigger and better things. They've gone past their seed rounds of funding. They've got real customers, which we do already, by the way, already have customers, but we've really blown up the number of customers we've had. And why? Not from my perspective, not because these companies are becoming financially successful, but because if they're growing and they are successful, it's because we're solving a problem in the industry. That's what these companies are supposed to be about. They're about helping the industry move forward in a digital space. So I hope 1 year from now, and I believe 1 year from now, that's one of the things you're going to be talking about is, man, those first companies that Dial started, they're first ones they started. They weren't the first ones that started, and well, they didn't really work out. They're still working on this. No, the very first ones we started were because the industry told us to, and look, we're solving these problems, and they want us to be here. That's the first thing we're going to be talking about. The second thing we're going to be talking about is that Dial's flywheel just keeps turning faster and faster. And every 6 months, there's another solution coming. There's another solution coming. There's another. These are investable, growing, impactful companies, and Dial and the industry in a partnership are continually creating new solutions to help this industry move forward in digital. That's what we're going to be doing a year from now. You're going to be talking to me again about, you're still busy, Alan. You bet we are, because we're out here trying to solve these problems with the industry.
And I'm going to have an armful of press releases to go through. I always enjoy seeing what Dial sends me. I'm always curious. I'm like, oh, now that's a great idea. I'm always fascinated by the person with the idea. I've always asked, like, how do you become an idea person? I mean, is it someone who just stares out the window all day? Or how do we prompt that? Because to me, I think everybody can come up with ideas. We just have to kind of figure out how we channel them.
Well, just a quick cool story on that, Paul. Tracy Weidemeyer, CEO of Grip. Unbelievable. So we're trying to digitize the repair and maintenance of ag and food equipment all across the industry. Digitize that. It's not very digitized right now. Repair and maintenance is sort of run to failure and then see if you can find some way to quickly get it fixed. Well, the problem with this is, of course, machinery is different all across the industry. The types of people working on it are different. Your operators working on these things aren't necessarily digitally capable, but they're very mechanically capable. You've got to get them involved in this process. He and his staff came up with the idea of, if we'll take a magnet or a sticker, this is a very simple concept, but we've got a QR code on it, and we're going to put it on the pieces of machinery that the company wants to follow. And it's just a QR code, and the operator comes up to work on that piece of machinery. They just highlight it with the phone, and it immediately pulls up a very simple form for them to fill out whatever information they need to with respect to what they're doing. And it's creating, this is the brilliance of these smart people like Tracy. It's LinkedIn for a piece of machinery. Mm-hmm. It's literally a LinkedIn profile for that piece of machinery. So an operator comes up to scans on it. It's got videos from what happened to it the last time the machine was worked on, what the maintenance was or what the issue was. Everything about that piece of machinery has its own LinkedIn profile. And it's a simple thing, a magnet that goes on or a sticker that goes on a piece of machinery with a QR code so that the operator can quickly, easily, and efficiently put the information in. Believe it or not, that's as simple, Paul, as you can make in a solution be. And it's just now coming and Grip's bringing it. That's pretty amazing.
So really, the robots are real because the machines are talking to our phones then.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, yes, I have had a history. It's Carfax for the combine.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Isn't that crazy? Alan Gray, great to see you. Great to chat with you. Thank you so much for making time.
Paul, thank you.